This is a pleasant change, Comrade Minister, Bondarenko observed. Golovko waved him to a chair and poured him a small glass of vodka, the fuel of a Russian business meeting. The visiting general lieutenant most often came here after normal working hours, but this time he'd been summoned officially and right after lunch. Well, Gennady Yosevich, I've talked you and your ideas over with President Grushevoy, and you've had 3 stars for a long time. It is time for you to have another and a new assignment. Indeed. Yes. As of Monday next, you will be General Colonel Bondarenko, and you will become Commander-in-Chief of the Far East Military District. This was the award of a dream. Oh. May I ask, why there? I happen to agree with your concerns regarding our yellow neighbors. I've seen some reports about the Chinese Army's continuing field exercises. Therefore, Eduard Petrovich and I feel that our eastern defenses might need some firming up. That becomes your job, Gennady. Will these new mineral discoveries in Siberia give us a little more money to spend? Golovko nodded. Yes, but not for some years. Patience, Gennady. I can be patient, but will the Chinese? So, Gennady Yosevich, what do I tell Eduard Petrovich? Bondarenko lifted the glass. Comrade Minister, you will please tell our president that he has a new sink far east. Tanya Bogdanova, one of Rasputin's young, beautiful whores, had been unreachable for several days. You've been busy? Provalov asked.
Da, a special client. I didn't bring my beeper. He dislikes interruptions.
I have a question.
Yes?
A name. Do you know it? Clementi Ivanich Suvorov. Her eyes showed some amusement.
Oh, yes, I know him well. He lives outside Moscow.
Under what name?
He does not know that I know, but I saw his papers once.
Ivan Yuryevich Konyev. When did you last see him?
It was a week before Grigory Filipovich died.
It was then that Provalov had a flash. Tanya, the night before Grigory died, whom did you see?
He was a former soldier or something. Let me think. Pyotr Alexeyevich something.
Amalric? Provalov asked, almost coming off his seat.
Yes. He had a tattoo on his arm, the Spetsnaz tattoo a lot of them got in Afghanistan.
Who set up that appointment?
Oh, that was Clementi Ivanich. He had an arrangement with Grigory. They knew each other for a long time. Grigory often made special appointments for Clementi's friends.
Suvorov had one or both of his killers fuck the whores belonging to the man they would kill the next day. Whoever Suvorov was, he had an active sense of humor. Or the real target actually had been Sergei Nikolaevich. Provalov had just turned up an important piece of information, but it didn't seem to illuminate his criminal case at all. He was back to the same two possibilities. This Suvorov had contracted the two Spetsnaz soldiers to kill Rasputin and then had them killed as insurance to avoid repercussions. Or he'd contracted them to eliminate Golovko and then killed them for making a serious error. Which? He'd have to find this Suvorov to find out. Things had quieted down at Rainbow headquarters in Hereford, England, to the point that both John Clark and Ding Chavez were starting to show the symptoms of restlessness. The group had never gone public, but the word had leaked out that NATO now had a very special counter-terrorist team. The European papers called them the Men of Black for their assault uniforms.
They want what? Ed Foley asked.
They want us to help train some of their people, Mary Pat repeated.
Jesus, girl, how ecumenical are we supposed to get? The DCI demanded.
Sergei Nikolaevich thinks we owe him one.
Yeah, well, maybe we do. This has to go up the line, though. Shit, Ryan said in the Oval Office when Alan Sumter handed him the facts from Langley. Golovko didn't even have to explain why America had to accede to his request. The Foleys and Jack Ryan would know that KGB had assisted the CIA and the American government in 2 very sensitive and important missions. Ryan lifted the phone and punched a speed dial button.
Foley, Ryan got the facts. And what the hell else can we do? I agree. The reply will go out today.
With a copy to Hereford, of course. It arrived on John's desk before closing time. He summoned Al Stanley, his executive officer, and handed it to him.
I suppose we're becoming famous, John. I presume you will go yourself? Whom will you take to Moscow with you?
Ding and Team 2. Ding and I have been there before. We've both met Sergei Nikolaevich.
Yes. And your Russian, as I recall, is first rate. How long do you expect to be gone?
Oh, not more than 3 weeks. Their Spetsnaz people aren't bad.
Hey, John, a familiar voice called from the door.
Hi, Al.
Come in and take a seat, my boy. Chavez hesitated at the my boy part. Whenever John talked that way, something unusual was about to happen. But it could have been worse. Kid was usually the precursor to danger, and now that he was a husband and a father, Domingo no longer went out of his way to look for trouble. He walked to Clark's desk and took the offered sheets of paper.
Moscow? Super. When?
Probably a week or so. How's the little guy?
Hey, Pop, he sleeps all the way through the night, and he wakes up with a smile. Damn sight better than I can say for myself, you know?
Is that him? Provalov asked.
We don't have a photograph, his sergeant reminded him, but he fits the general description.
They were in a van parked half a block from the apartment building they were surveilling. The guy looked about right. The car the man got into was a rental. There was a private automobile registered to one Konyev Ian Yurievich at this address, a Mercedes C-Class. The sergeant in the driver's seat started up the van's motor.
Our friend is moving. The blue rental car, Provalov said over the radio.
Following the car was easier than he'd expected. Three trail cars helped.
He's getting dinner and a drink somewhere, Provalov's driver observed. He'll pull over in the next kilometer.
We shall see, the lieutenant said, thinking his driver right.
This area had 10 or 11 upscale eateries. Which would his quarry choose? It turned out to be the Prince Michael of Kiev.
Who's the best dressed among us? Provalov asked over the radio. You are, Comrade Lieutenant.
His other two teams were attired as working class people, and that wouldn't fly here. Provalov pulled out his cellular phone.
Hello, a familiar voice said on picking up the receiver.
Mishka?
Oleg, what can I do for you?
Do you know a restaurant called the Prince Michael of Kiev?
Yeah, sure, why?
I need your help. How quickly can you get here?
10 or 15 minutes.
Quickly, then. I'll be at the bar.